The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. We must realize that counterfeit religion began in the Garden of Eden. We must also realize that Satan is still the same. He still has his counterfeit religion and his ministers out there. He's still fighting to get us. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. God is pulling for us. We are fighting to resist Satan. We are fighting to survive. Satan wants to and intends to and will pull it off. That is, bring mankind to the point that he would annihilate all life from this planet if Jesus Christ doesn't return and save mankind from himself. How are we fighting? If you are a true Christian, how are you fighting? What are you fighting with? Well, if you're a true Christian, you probably know. Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. That is, dressing up like God, having his mind, attitude, and character on you. And that is a process, my friend. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come the moment that you say, I believe in Christ. That is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives to those that obey him. That Spirit gives us the power to resist Satan's ways and to surrender to God more and more. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, telling a Christian what he must do. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. That is telling us also that Satan is going to be trying to trip you and throw you and get you to be his servant. He doesn't want you serving God. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In other words, Paul is telling us, inspired by God Almighty, that when we have troubles, when someone does you wrong, or you look at the world the way that it's going, he says it's all inspired, enticed by Satan himself, Satan and his demons. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, of course, we want to hold grudges, and we want to get mad and be in a bad attitude toward someone if they do us harm, if they do us wrong. But Satan is behind that, and we need to realize that. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, he's saying, obey your Maker. Put on the mind, the attitude, and the character of God and Jesus Christ. That's why you were born, my friend, was to become like God in that way. And finally, the finishing touch put on you at the first resurrection, that you would be made born into the family of God as a spirit-born son of God and as a spirit-born brother of Jesus Christ. He said, after you've done all to stand, he says in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, how do you do that? How do you gird your waist with truth? How much of God's word do you understand? You know, Christ said, thy word is truth. And that's the only truth that we really have, my friend. And if you can't believe God and live according to his way, we are all men most miserable, all people most miserable. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. You do that by studying God's word, by obeying your Maker, by being willing to obey. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, David said, all your commandments are righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Yes, you take the shield of faith. Faith is a very important part of the plan of salvation. And you build the faith of Jesus Christ. You do that through and by the power of God's Holy Spirit, you understanding his word and you obeying your Maker. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, how do you do that? You do that by growing in the grace and the knowledge of obeying your Maker and realizing the true plan of salvation, what God is doing, and you need to realize also what Satan is doing, because Satan has been and is and will be until he is bound trying to destroy God and the plan of salvation, and he's trying to destroy you if you're obeying God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Well, my friends, have you ever asked yourself, how much time do I spend in prayer and talking to God? How much time do I spend in reading and studying the Word of God? That might be something that you need to ask yourself. God gives us His mind, attitude, and character as we give or surrender our mind, attitude, and character to Him. And that's what you're here for, my friend, is to build the mind and the attitude and the character of God. That is the way of peace. That is the path that leads to eternal life. Now, you don't earn eternal life, but there are requirements that you meet before God will give you eternal life. Thank God for the fact that He gives you time to see, hear, and understand by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we doing our homework of studying to show ourselves approved. In Jeremiah 10, verse 21, God has this to say, "For the shepherds have become dull-hearted," that's ministers He's talking about, "and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." Well, where are all the people that claim to be obeying God? How many denominations are there, my friend? Are they all right? God knows what is being taught in the churches of this world, which has led the people away from God. He gives us time to grow, time to take off Satan and put on Jesus Christ, time to take off the nature of Satan, which we all grew up putting on. We grew up in this world, in Satan's world, and his ways were all around us, and we thought that was the way we were to be. But due to the fact we have been called to see, hear, and understand, God says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or understanding the word of truth." You know, God says there's something that you have to do. You have a part in the plan of salvation. God doesn't do it all for you. There's much more that you have to do instead of just believing in Jesus Christ. You know, in James chapter 2, you read that Satan and his demons believe and tremble. Well, let me ask you, my friend, are they on the path to eternal life? Are they pleasing God? They believe in Christ. You believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. But I believe in obeying Christ. I believe in living by His word as He has commanded me to do. When God opens your mind to begin to see, hear, and understand His way of pure and true religion, God is telling us to do our part to become like God. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, God adds more along this line, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." God doesn't expect us to be a babe in Christ forever. Parents doesn't expect kids to remain a baby. They are so thrilled to see kids grow. And God is thrilled to see His kids grow and become like Him. Grow up in Jesus Christ. Become like God and Jesus Christ. Put on their mind, their attitude. Let your desires and your aspirations be God's and not Satan's. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 16, I want you to notice what Christ had to say. And He's talking about spiritual growth here. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." If you understand the plan of salvation, if you understand that it is God's purpose to make you like Him, Him doing His part, furnishing the power, the Holy Spirit, to those that obey Him, and you doing your part in coming out of Satan's world and putting on the mind of Jesus Christ, says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." But my friends, when God first begins to work with you, you aren't fully grown at that time. You're just a babe in Christ. God expects you to grow. Verse 17, "For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Well, they spoke and they wrote. They prophesied about the plan of salvation. They prophesied about Christ's first coming and about the kingdom of God coming to this earth. As a matter of fact, they prophesied about Christ's second coming. But they didn't have the understanding that you can have today about the plan of salvation. Now, they obeyed God, and they will be saved. They will inherit eternal life. In verse 18, Christ said, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that is the word of God and his truth, and the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return and establish the kingdom of God on this earth. He is going to depose Satan. He is going to take this earth away from Satan and his demons. And he's going to establish the throne of God, the kingdom of God, right here on this earth. And in that day, he will take the veil off all eyes and unstop their ears. Everyone will see, hear, and understand, and they will have the opportunity to grow and become like Jesus Christ. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." Speaking about Satan here, "This is he who receives seed by the wayside." You can read the first part of this parable in Matthew chapter 13. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." That happens. Sometimes you receive the word of God with joy. "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Yes, they're too weak. They don't give themselves time to put down roots in Jesus Christ. And they're too weak to continue to obey God. They go right back into Satan's world. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Yes, there's someone that started out trying to obey God and bearing fruit, as Christ said that we are to do, fruit of righteousness. But yet they don't stay long enough to put down roots and to build the mind and the attitude of Christ to the point that they say, "I will not recant. I will not go back to Satan's ways." "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's the one that hang in there, my friends. That's the one that makes up their mind and uses God's Spirit to build God's mind, his attitude, and his character. My time is up. We're going to make one more program on Satan's counterfeit religion, and we'll see you next week. But in the meantime, we have a couple of booklets that you need to read. Devil, you say. That will help open your eyes, my friend, and your understanding to what Satan has been and is and will be up to until he is bound. And booklet number 2 is The Seed of Satan. That will also help you. Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com, or order online www.thewayitoughtobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. Have a good day, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.